Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, where our goal is to inform and inspire you, our listening audience, by featuring nonprofits who are doing great things in our community, with the hope that you will want to make some kind of impact yourself in some way. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at EIG. Today's topic of conversation is going to focus on a specific area of women's health. And I'm pretty sure that our listeners all know at least one woman who has experienced what we're going to talk about today. In doing my research for this interview, I came across a kind of a depressing statistic that says, on average, every 2 minutes, a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer in the United States. Approximately 1 in 8 women, about 13%, will be diagnosed with invasive breast cancer, and 1 in 43, or 2.3%, will unfortunately die from the disease. And this year alone, it's projected that about 5,300 women will be diagnosed, and more than 700 will pass away from the disease. Now, these are our mothers, they're our sisters, our daughters, our friends, our neighbors. And that's why the work of our two nonprofits featured today matters every single day. Awareness and early detection are crucial, and I'm pleased that our guests will help educate us on some really important things to pay attention to. My first guest is Nikki Panico, Executive Director from the Susan G. Komen Foundation, whose mission is to save lives by meeting the most critical needs in our communities and investing in breakthrough research to prevent and cure breast cancer. Welcome, Nikki. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Jill. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. Why don't we start by you giving us some information about the Susan G. Komen Foundation and your own personal journey with breast cancer.
Sure. Well, Susan G. Komen Breast Cancer Foundation has been in existence for a little over 40 years. And our main focus is finding the cures and saving lives. The statistics you mentioned are, you use the word, I think, depressing. It is devastating.
Yeah.
However, there is 5 million survivors in the United States alone from this disease. And it's in part by Susan G. Komen.
Yeah, we talk about the fact that, you know, we don't sweep the challenges under the rug. You know, we recognize them, we say and share some of these stats that are really staggering. But I love what you said. You know, we want to focus on the positive and say that there are people and organizations out here that locally, across the nation, globally, that are doing great things, and we want to
yes.
highlight that.
Yes, but to that point, women are still dying, 40,000 a year. And so that's completely unacceptable. And what we do at Komen, we look at it at a real 360-degree approach. We fund groundbreaking research to the tune of $1.2 billion in breast cancer research. And that's the largest nonprofit investment outside of the U.S. government. The other area is providing direct patient support. We have millions of more invested in programs that help patients navigate care, afford treatment, and get resources they need. We are heavily driven by public policy. It doesn't matter if we have the cures and treatments. If they're not accessible by all, then we're not making the impact that we need to. So we really drive public policy both at the state level and at the federal level. And finally, we build community. And we have a big community in the state of Wisconsin, and that's to ensure that no one faces this disease alone.
Mm. And you have your own personal experience with this.
I do. For me, the mission is deeply personal. So I lost my mom and her sister, who's my aunt. They died both from breast cancer within a month of each other. Mm. So my grandparents were alive, and they lost their only two children within a month from this disease. Coincidentally, the same year they passed, I was diagnosed. At the age of 39, I had a three-year-old son, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer and had chemotherapy, a double mastectomy, and all that goes along with those treatments. And that was 15 years ago, and it'll be 2 years in October when I was diagnosed again. Mm. My breast cancer came back, even with a double mastectomy, and I'm currently continue to fight the disease. Mm. And I have three sisters, and my youngest sister was just diagnosed with breast cancer.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And the one thing I want to really mention and call out is this is not hereditary, not any genes they know of. So when women say, and many do, well, it doesn't run in my family, please know that a very small percentage is hereditary, under 10%.
That is so good that you share that, because I did not know that. My grandmother, my sister, my grandmother had, she has since passed, breast cancer. My sister, who is a survivor, had breast cancer. My mother, ovarian cancer. And I'm saying I need to go get genetic testing, because there's got to be something hereditary somewhere. And you're saying not so much.
No.
Only 10%.
No. At least not the genes they know of right now.
Wow.
It's a very low percentage. So I can't stress enough, don't have in your mind that, well, it doesn't run in my family, so I don't need to worry.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing that again. You talked a little bit about the fact that you have patient support services in this patient care center. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure, because we really want individuals to access that. So our patient care center, it's a trusted go-to source for timely, accurate breast health and breast cancer information. Our navigators, so there's trained navigators that answer the calls. They offer free personalized navigation services. It doesn't matter if you're a patient, if you're a caregiver, if you're a family member, if you don't even know, well, when should I get screened? So this is available 7 days a week in multiple languages, in email form or telephone form. So really, individuals need help, helpline@komen.org. And there is an 800 number, so I'll just get out your pens if you're listening and say, I need to call Komen's Patient Care Center, 877-465-6636.
One more time.
877-465-6636. And the email is helpline@komen.org.
Okay. So, again, if you have any questions about any of the things that we're going to be talking about in our session with the Komen Foundation, you can reach out at the website. Before we break, Nikki, give us some general things that women need to know about their breast health and breast cancer.
Absolutely. What is most paramount to me is for individuals to know, because men do get breast cancer as well, that they are the CEO of their own body. So if something changes, they need to speak up and get it checked out. And in this next segment, we'll talk a little more specifically about what women need to know.
Okay. And you had mentioned to me, too, that the bottom line is early detection saves lives. So if you notice anything unusual, don't wait. Call your doctor right away. So make sure that you heed that advice. Given the fact that breast cancer is the most common cancer among women in the United States, excluding certain skin cancers, we want to be sure we share the knowledge that our guests have about the subject, specific things that can help people make informed decisions. So again, Nikki is going to go into a little bit more detail after our short commercial break, and she's going to talk about the Susan G. Komen 4 Steps to Breast Cancer Self-Awareness. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking again in our second segment with Nikki Panico, Executive Director from the Susan G. Komen Foundation. So the Komen Foundation has identified 4 steps to breast self-awareness, and it's important that you are aware of these so you can perhaps lower your risk and also share this information with others. So go ahead, Nikki, and tell us what those are.
Thank you, Jill. As I mentioned in the last segment, you're the CEO of your own body. So if something changes, speak up and get it checked out. And you might think, well, what is she talking about? Let me start with first, it's really important to know your risk. So you want to talk to your family and have an open dialogue if any type of any cancer, actually, but specifically we're talking about breast here. So does that run in your family at all? And you want to talk to your doctor. You can talk to your general practitioner. A lot of times that's where it starts. Or your OBGYN. And determine when is the best time to start getting screened. Hopefully you're seeing a general practitioner where you get a clinical breast exam on a regular basis. But when do you start getting screened? So this information that you talk to your doctor about will help determine when is that. Here's my family history, and you determine a plan. I said earlier that my mom and her sister, my aunt, died of breast cancer. When they were first diagnosed, I was in my 30s. And my mom's doctor said, tell your daughters to start getting mammograms at age 35. Because my mom and my aunt had it, so that automatically made me high risk. And I'm so glad I went for that mammogram, because at age 39 is when I was first diagnosed. And if I would have waited till the recommended year of 40, that would have been a whole year before it was diagnosed. So you determine, again, when do I get screened with your doctor. And then the second step is actually get screened. For most women at average risk, Komen likes to suggest that you start getting mammograms at age 40. There are different recommendations out there by different governing bodies, but at Komen, we encourage age 40. And if you didn't hear the first segment, I said, and I'm going to repeat, that just because breast cancer doesn't run in your family doesn't mean that you won't get the disease. It's a very, very small percentage of individuals that actually have hereditary breast cancer, under 10%. The other thing I need you to know about getting screened, and if you're in the state of Wisconsin, everyone should get mammogram reports to identify if you have dense breasts. What's dense breast? It doesn't matter the cup size. It just determines, do I have more fat tissue that make up my breast or more breast tissue? And dense breast is when it's really hard to see through the x-ray. A mammogram's just an x-ray. So you might need a different type of x-ray, like an ultrasound. So I won't go into dense breast too much, but just to say, there's absolutely a different type of x-ray an ultrasound or MRI can see dense breasts, see tumors through dense breasts. So keep that in mind. The third area that I want you to be aware of, and I think this is so, so important, is to know your normal. Be familiar with how your breasts look and feel so you'll notice any changes right away. Many women just think lump. Oh, I didn't feel a lump, so I'm okay, or this isn't a lump, so I must not have breast cancer. A lump is just one of 8 physical signs. Hard knot or thickening inside of the breast or the underarm. Breast tissue is on the underarm, in the upper chest. Don't just think cup. Another physical sign, swelling, warmth, redness, darkening of the breast. Changes in breast size or shape. It is a fact that your breasts are 2 different sizes. They're not made identically. Okay, so we automatically have one that's larger. But this is, again, know your normal. So if you see a change that one side is getting bigger, that could be a sign. Look at dimpling. Just like you'd have a dimple on your cheek, you might have a dimple on your breast. And if that's new, you want to monitor. Itchy, scaly, sore, rash, anywhere around the breast or on the nipple. My second time it came back, it came under my breast. And I was training for a triathlon, and I thought, oh, it's just the sweat, and it's just the rubbing of my sports bra. No, the rash was a physical sign of breast cancer. And I know that it persisted. Any of these physical signs, if it persists more than 2 weeks, I want you to call your doctor. So pulling of the nipple or other parts of the breast inward. Nipple discharge that starts suddenly. Some women honestly have that automatically. But this is, again, if it's new. Any new pain in one spot that doesn't go away, all physical signs. Ladies, when you're washing yourself in the shower, when you're putting lotion on, feel and look. Look in the mirror. A lot of us don't like to look in the mirror nude. We're like, oh, no. Yes, I want you to look in the mirror nude and look for changes. I can't stress that enough. And the fourth and last, make healthy lifestyle choices. Keep a healthy weight. Stay active. And this is for a lot of diseases, right? Eat a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, whole grains. Limit alcohol. Don't smoke. Get plenty of sleep and manage stress. Your body and your immune system respond better when you're not in overdrive. Notice anything unusual, don't wait. Call your doctor right away.
Okay, so I'm going to reiterate those 4. Number 1, know your risk. Number 2, get screened. Number 3, know what's normal for you. And number 4, make healthy lifestyle choices. So again, all this is just awesome information. Nikki shared how you can get to the Komen Foundation. We'll do that again in just a few minutes at the end of the segment. But Nikki, real quickly, how can individuals get involved with the Komen Foundation in Wisconsin?
Oh my gosh, there are so many ways to get involved. And as I mentioned in the first segment, one of the drivers of our 360-degree approach is build community. Build community so no one faces this disease alone. So whether you want to walk, dress up, have fun, or lead in a big way, I'm going to tell you, we have it here. The first that I'm going to mention is our annual More Than Pink Walk. It's always the fourth Sunday in September, and it's called a walk, but it's not. It's a movement. Survivors and those living with metastatic breast cancer lead our survivor parade. Teams gather with matching shirts and signs. It's electric. It's an uplifting feeling that you're part of something truly bigger than yourself. It's where hope meets action, and it's where we raise critical funds that directly fuel Komen's mission.
And that leads right into October, being the fourth Sunday in September, because October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So
right.
It makes sense that that's absolutely when it would be.
Yeah. And I will say, at this walk, I've had a lot of death in my family and so many friends. So there is time to honor and remember those that should be walking with us that aren't. So that's also a part of the day.
You have your annual gala each April.
Yes.
And then a big wigs.
Yes, of course. And our gala is not traditional. We always have a really fun theme. Last year was sneakers and pearls. And let me tell you, there wasn't a lady in the room that wasn't thrilled she didn't have to wear heels. Right? And the year before was denim and diamonds. So, I mean, wearing jeans to a gala, really fun. This year, it's between leather and lace or fur and flannel. So it'll be a surprise, but it's a lot of fun. It's not your traditional gala.
And what is Big Wigs about?
Big Wigs, it's a fun, competitive fundraising campaign where individuals wear bright pink wigs for a month, raise awareness, and see who can bring in the most donations for Komen. It's really a community challenge, and it's a bold statement, and it's absolutely 100% impactful.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun, too. And then where does the money go that you raise from these great events?
I love answering this question because the impact is huge, and it's local as well as national to research. We fund groundbreaking research. As I mentioned earlier, the largest nonprofit funder of breast cancer research outside the U.S. government. Our patient support center that I talked about, we also have a financial assistance program helping patients pay for rent, transportation, childcare. We have patient navigation guiding people through the often overwhelming healthcare system and addressing disparities because we really need to eliminate barriers that cause Black women in the U.S. to die from breast cancer at a 40% higher rate than white women and to ensure rural patients can access high-quality care.
And so 87 cents of every dollar goes directly toward your mission.
Absolutely.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's important because, again, you say people often ask, where does my donation really go? And that's nice to know. So you can get involved with a number of different events that they have going on. If that's more than Pink Walk, the annual gala, the Big Wigs event, a lot of ways that you can plug in. And what is the contact information one more time, Nikki?
G-O for go, and then Komen, which is K-O-M-E-N, 1-877-GO-KOMEN.
Okay. And my last statement here is remember that early detection saves lives. So if you notice anything unusual, go to see your doctor. So thank you, Nikki, for sharing your wealth of knowledge, sharing your personal story. Happy to have you today on the show.
Oh, Jill, thank you so much. We're really honored by EIG and you. Thank you so, so much.
You are welcome. Well, our second featured nonprofit today serves women in a similar capacity. So stay tuned to hear all about them after a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Candace Strong, Executive Director from Trisha's Troops Cancer Connection. Welcome to the show today, Candace.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So let's start by you telling us about the mission of Trisha's Troops and how did it all get started?
Yeah, so our mission is basically providing financial assistance, survivorship programming, and other vital services, resources, and supplies to people throughout Southeast Wisconsin who have been impacted by any type of cancer, any age, actually. And the way that it got started is it's probably not too unique in the fact that so many of us do have loved ones that go through cancer, and we all want to do something about it, right, once we do. So our story dates back to January of 2010, when my older sister, Trisha, was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer at the age of 35 years young. Similarly to Nikki, she had two young children, 2 and 7 at the time. So obviously at the beginning, when you get a diagnosis, you're just lost, terrified, heartbroken, and don't know where to turn. And fortunately for us, we had such a strong support system that it made her and her husband wonder, what do people do if you don't have that? You know, they had people that sent flowers, made meals, drove the girls to school, helped take care of the housework, got Trisha to treatment. It takes a village. And we were so fortunate to have that all those people that were helping us started calling themselves Trisha's Troops. So that's where the name comes from. Okay. And so they realized how blessed they were, and they wanted to really harness that power of all the people that were standing behind them to help others that would be going through it in the future. So we opened our doors in May of 2011. And we really, seeing as we went through the experience, we're always trying to think about what are people experiencing, what are their needs, their expenses, their fears, their hopes, and then we try to create programming to address those things. And since we opened, we've now been able to serve more than 6,000 cancer fighters, survivors, and their families throughout Southeast Wisconsin.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you are the executive director of the organization. How did that come about?
It sounds kind of crazy, but about 10 years before my sister was diagnosed, I was in college going into my junior year. I was watching the Oprah Winfrey Show, as college students did at that time. And there was a particular segment, I can't even remember what it was. I just remember it. I felt so compelled that this was a turning point in my life. And so I called my mom, and I'm like, I need to switch my major. I'm going to get on the business side of a nonprofit. So I majored in human services, took on a business minor, not knowing why I was feeling that. It's not something that I had experienced being a part of nonprofits in my family or anything like that. But fast forward 10 years later, and Trisha's diagnosed, and we're feeling we should be doing something with this. This is a calling for us to do something special. So because of that background, and I had been doing 10 years of nonprofit work before she was diagnosed, so I was able to step into that role. And just before she passed away, she sat me down and said, would you be willing to take this over full time? And so without a thought, I took that leap of faith, because it felt like, you know, I say this not to make it be about me, but for the fact that it all along has felt like it's been a mission and a plan a long time in the making, to be able to bring purpose through our pain and to make the road a little bit easier for others who would go through it.
Yeah, I love that. I've said before on this show, you know, that so many people that I interview have turned their pain into a purpose, and that's just wonderful. Do you serve people with all different kinds of cancers? Again, you know, so who does your mission serve specifically?
Yeah, so if you look at our logo online, you'll see that the ribbon color is lavender. Lavender represents all cancers, and that's what we wanted to do. So even though she was colon cancer, we didn't want to limit it just to that. So we serve all ages, all cancers. Throughout Southeast Wisconsin, we focus on Waukesha County and our bordering counties.
Okay. And so you and Nikki probably have a great partnership and crossover.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
where
really
you can
wonderful.
Serve.
It is wonderful, because cancer is a big issue, and it takes a lot of us to tackle it.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really important for all these different organizations to be coming at it and tackling it from a variety of ways.
Absolutely. Well, what would you say makes Trisha's Troops different from other organizations?
So we've been focusing on making it a comprehensive whole person approach to cancer care, focusing on healing and greater well-being from a variety of perspectives. Treatment is obviously a vital component of cancer recovery, but it's not the only component. We find it's really important to address the financial needs that people experience, their practical needs, as well as their social and emotional, the impact that has as well. So our goal is to really help cancer fighters, survivors, and their loved ones find strength, hope, and peace in body, mind, and spirit in their journey with and beyond cancer. And in the past number of years, we've been really blessed to be able to get into a new space. We are located in Delafield. I think everyone is familiar with the Smiley Barn.
Mm-hmm.
We are conveniently located right next to there. We've got about 3,000 square feet of space, and we're able to do things there. Everything that we're preaching and promoting, we're able to do it under one roof. Our focus for the space was really to create a place where people could focus on their recovery and healing outside of the walls of a medical facility.
Okay.
We wanted to create a community space where you're not having to walk through the same doors where you experience those traumas. It's important that people can receive it there too, but we want to create a space where they don't have to have those same feelings. They can just walk into the space being hopeful and focus on what's next. So that's been really beautiful. My word when I was creating the space was resilience. That's what kept on popping in my mind. You want to help people be able to bend and not break when they're going through a hard time. So we've been able to create a space where we have rooms for all different things. Well, I'll talk later about our Project Connect program. We have space to carry out that program. We have a small space for support groups. We have a supply room. We provide tote bags free of charge to new cancer patients that provides comfort, relief, encouragement. So we have a space for all of those supplies. And then we also have what we call our Bloom Room, which is a space for wig fittings.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that for a moment, because First of all, I love that your location is next to the Smiley Barn in Delafield. That's
a lot of people enjoy that. Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. And I love that you have a word. You know, that's something that I've practiced for many, many years, is to have a word for the year instead of like this long list of resolutions. You have one word that is going to point you to your North Star, right? One thing that you can focus on throughout the year, and yours was resilience. I love that.
Thank you.
The Komen Foundation has something called Big Wigs. You have your own wig program. How does that work?
Yeah, so that's pretty unique. I don't think there's many organizations doing this at this time. So basically, we accept new and gently used wigs. People can donate them if anyone knows of anyone that's gone through and would like to donate a wig. So we get them washed and freshened up for women who experience hair loss during treatment. And with so many expenses and things to worry about, we love that we're able to help take one thing off their mind. We often will get a phone call saying, I'm starting treatment in a couple weeks. I'm really concerned I'm going to lose my hair. Do you have anything to help me? And so it's easing burdens. And whether that's financially, emotionally, whatever it might be, or whether it's having a wig for someone to be able to know that they can have, it's a really special program. We've got a volunteer that drives out from Greenfield for us. She does the appointments free of charge. She's been doing this for a number of years in her professional life. And when she retired, she said, I want to come out and help you. Let's make this program happen.
Nice.
And so it's just the beauty of what we can all make possible using our gifts and talents. And so she's able to do that free of charge. We've got a private space for the individual and their family or friends to come sit in a private area outside of the public eye to do this. And really, it surprisingly becomes almost a fun experience. We had somebody send us a thank you. And the husband said, I watched and I could see joy in her eyes and a smile on her face. She felt special, pampered, like a woman who is not dying of cancer.
Oh,
and so it seems maybe like a small thing, but all of these things add up and make a big difference for anyone going through it.
And you never know how whatever it is you do, whether it's the wigs or the bags or, you know, whatever, that you're making an impact. Even if it's in a small way, it's still making an impact.
Absolutely.
And that's great. You mentioned before that you have financial assistance, that was one of the services that you provide. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, so we provide more than $100,000 in direct financial assistance to people going through cancer. In addition to the physical and emotional challenges that come along with the diagnosis, many people experience the financial challenges that will often accompany it. And as you can think about it, at the same time that expenses, medical expenses, other out-of-pocket costs, as that's going up, oftentimes the household income is going down due to the patient or their spouse maybe needing to take time off work, things like that. So we provide financial assistance up to $500 in support for people that are approved, which can go towards daily living needs, expenses, and challenges. So things like groceries, gas, like transportation, whether it be gas, Lyft, Uber, fixing a car, whatever it might be, we want people to be able to get to their treatment. We can help with rent, utilities, and even more on the service side, we've had people request help with things like home cleaning, lawn maintenance, snow removal, anything that becomes difficult, expensive, a burden when you're going through it. So we try to help address any of those things that people are going through.
Okay, that's great. So Candace outlined not only what they do, but some of the different specific programs that they have, which is great. With our increased focus and attention on healthy lifestyle practices, Trisha's Troops has developed a new program that hits on that topic specifically, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail after a short commercial break. So don't go away, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking in our last segment today with Candace Strong, Executive Director from Trisha's Troops Cancer Connection. So, Candace, we talked just, you mentioned this Project Connect in the last segment, but give us some more details about this.
So Project Connect is a free lifestyle program that focuses on cultivating strength in body, mind, and spirit for people living with and beyond cancer in Southeast Wisconsin. This all came about thanks to incredible grants from American Cancer Society and Coles Healthy Families. We've been a recipient of their support for the past 4 years, piloting this program, and now it's just taken off, which has been amazing. But we really want to help cancer fighters and survivors optimize their health and wellness. And the things that we focus on is, what I should say is when you're going through cancer, so much feels out of control. And so it's really empowering to focus on the things that we can control, which we know are what we eat, how we move, and who we surround ourselves with for support. So that's really the focus of the Project Connect program. And we're really fortunate that we have an incredible team that helps us carry that out. These are people that are trained, experienced. We've got a cancer exercise specialist that helps us do group workouts. We've got workouts on twice a week on Tuesdays and Fridays, so you can work out together. We've got a board-certified oncology dietitian, and she's also a cancer survivor herself. She leads our healthy eating programming. And so through that, we get to do what she calls snack and chats. We get an opportunity to sit down with her, try a new healthy snack, and get to answer any of your questions that you might have regarding oncology and diet and nutrition and things like that. We've got a yoga specialist, and we have a wellness coach. And so between all of them, they're creating these programs, these classes that make it really great to be able to be around other people, other survivors that understand it. So there's hands-on cooking classes, walk and talks in nature, a journaling support group. We're just always coming up with new programming to be able to help people focus on their wellness and with around other people. The encouraging thing is that there are things that we can do to feel more empowered. We provide a book to all of our participants called Anti-Cancer Living, and there's a great quote in there by the author that says, "Our bodies are, by their very nature, robust disease-fighting machines, and our task is to ensure our everyday lifestyle choices and habits help our bodies do what they are programmed to do, heal themselves." I think it's so exciting that we can have a sense of what we can do in this process. People really enjoy being able to be a part of this.
Well, it sounds like a great program, and one that anybody can really use, you know, whether you are struggling with a type of cancer or not. We should all be focusing on the power of lifestyle, right? On the flyer for Project Connect, you describe the program as offering active hope. What do you mean by that?
So hope is having a positive outlook on the future, and it's a motivational force that can help people persevere through difficult times. So an example of that is we tend to have support groups where people share what they're going through and how Trisha's Troops has impacted them. And we just had one woman that walked in and she said, "I just love walking through these doors because I feel hope. I don't need to just take my cancer diagnosis and be a victim of it. I can do something about it. And I get to be around other people who want to do something about it." So instead of being an innocent bystander to a diagnosis, I feel like this program encourages and empowers people to take action and be actively involved in their cancer recovery. And, you know, I think we all know that we're supposed to eat better, move more, all these different things. But a strong component of the Project Connect program is the fact that we're doing it alongside other cancer fighters and survivors. Even if you have a strong support system, you need to have other people that get it.
Yeah.
And so that's really the foundation. The author that we use for the anti-cancer living, the author states, support is really the foundation of whether the other lifestyle choices will fall away or whether they will stick. And so it's really important to surround yourself with people that want to help you get through those times and get through it together.
Absolutely. Well, you've been open since 2011. Do you have anything new on the horizon?
I always encourage people to go to our website at triciastroops.org, and that's T-R-I-C-I-A-S troops.org. We do have an event calendar so people can see what is coming up at any given time. You know, in the past, so much of our mission was focused on the financial needs and the practical needs. And since we've gotten this grant funding for Project Connect, it's opened our eyes to the fact that we really need to be focusing on mind, body, and spirit as well. So that's going to be a big part of going forward. Coming up, there's going to be something called a balanced wellness program that we're creating. So basically through guided meditation, mindfulness activities, and group discussion, participants will learn practical tools to manage stress and anxiety and the uncertainties that often accompany a cancer diagnosis. So that's something new coming up. We've also been doing these survivorship wellness samplers, and it's basically a little workshop that provides a three-hour time for people to experience everything Project Connect offers in a condensed format. So we bring in our workout specialist to do a group workout, do a snack together, talk to our nutrition specialist. We'll do like a little art activity for some mindfulness, and then do a cool down with our yoga. So that's ways that we really want to encourage people that have not participated before to get to experience it and see whether they think it's going to be a good fit for them.
Okay. Well, wow, you got a lot going on over there at Trisha's Troops. What would you say as we close our segment today is your call to action or your takeaway for our listeners today?
I think the takeaway, the whole thing about Trisha's Troops is that we can all make an impact. We might even not see it coming in the ways that we can make an impact. But I'm a really strong believer in every one of us serving a special purpose or many special purposes. And I think we're all just given unique gifts and talents that we can utilize to help other people on their journey. And so I encourage people to think about what they're passionate about, what they're good at, and how can they maybe utilize that to help in their community, whether that be Trisha's Troops or other organizations. There's so many people in need, and there's so many people that are just that are angels that come out of the woodwork to help when someone's going through a hard time. And it's because of all these people that have popped up. You know, this started as just a grassroots organization or just a family trying to do something, maybe just provide flowers to people. And now it's become really an essential organization in the community. So I think it's really important for people to help spread the word. If you know, if there's someone that needs our support, please reach out to us.
Give us that contact information so they have that.
Yeah, people can call us at 262-303-4034, and our website is trishastroops.org. So they can go to our website and find ways to get involved. That can be providing financial assistance. We have a wish list on there for our supply drive, where people can do supply drives with their work, their churches, their schools, and get the items that we're looking for. There's ways to volunteer. So we just encourage people to go to the website and reach out and see how they can get involved.
Okay, wonderful. Well, thank you, Candace Strong, Executive Director from Trisha's Troops Cancer Connection. Thank you for sharing your wealth of knowledge in this area and how you're making a difference in the community. So thank you as well for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
You are welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to the Susan G. Komen Foundation or Trisha's Troops Cancer Connection. And if you know of a great organization that is doing great work in our community, like our guests that we featured today, that you think would be a great guest for our show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community to learn more about the specific ways that people and organizations are contributing to making our community a great place. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can listen on demand wherever you stream your favorite podcasts. My call to action today is similar to what Candace shared, and that's to give some thought to how you can make a difference in some way for someone in our community. Both of our guests have shared many ways that you can make a difference and have a significant impact, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating for their respective organization. Or you can also listen to a few of well over 500 nonprofits who have shared their mission and their vision and their community impact on past shows. So you can align your interests with a cause or an organization that speaks to your desire to give back. I'm sure anything you do would be very much appreciated. Take the time to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.